Many pundits think that the Democrat Party becomes more socialistic every day. What do you think? That is, if in fact there is a consistent and well-articulated, transparent philosophy of the Democrats, is there a transparent philosophy for either party? Anyway, back to the Democrats. Their philosophy, they say, would be, in fact, socialistic. Do you agree? It would, of course, be a redefined statism, including an ever-growing federal government, more and massive legislation, control by tens of thousands of regulations, and, of course, active and aggressive and independently acting agencies of government. Boy, what a problem that's becoming. And all operating within or without constitutional or legislative authority. Either one. In short, more power and control would be vested in the federal government. And that power and control would be exercised by the very few, an oligarchy, if you will, manipulating power above and around the very Congress itself. Isn't that unbelievable? The voice of the party, at least for now, is Bernie Sanders. Senator Sanders from New Hampshire is an open and avowed socialist. He unabashedly says so. Sanders wants to move the Democrat Party left, far left, even radical left. He challenges leading candidate Hillary Clinton to do the same. Clinton listens, understands the ever-growing popularity of Sanders, and begins slowly to move left, more aggressively so in her political positions, but very carefully. The country waits for her to identify herself, articulate the strong and transparent political message, and create a platform, like Sanders has done. Come out with it. And that would define who she is and what she believes. No one really knows, because Clinton talks in generalities, using over and again the old clichés, careful as always not to go deep or meaningful, typically Clinton. It's all about the power of the presidency and not the platform. Senator Bernie Sanders is currently drawing the largest crowds of any candidate in either party. Recently, some 28,000 people attended a Sanders political rally in Los Angeles. Another 28,000 people turned out to see him in Portland, Oregon. And when Sanders campaigned in Seattle, 15,000 people came to see and hear him. No matter, say the Sanders critics, the conventional wisdom is that Bernie Sanders will not win the Democrat Party nomination for president. His bid is destined to fail. His progressive base, his critics say, is too white. Too white. And too small for a party that places a premium on diversity. Interesting, is it not, that already this early in the campaign, race comes into play? For Sanders, say the critics, his problem is the fact that his message of a new and progressive socialism appeals too much to whites. What a world, huh? And one should never forget, say the critics, that the Democratic establishment has already settled on Hillary Rodham Clinton. She is the candidate of choice. I guess they're not too worried about Bernie Sanders on the Clinton side, don't you think? But maybe the critics are right. The Sanders rally in Seattle was disrupted by Black Lives Matter, a group of protesters suggesting that Sanders is in fact too white in his message, not caring enough about blacks or other so-called minorities, so that real challenges lie ahead for him. More so, the critics say, that Bernie Sanders can't win because America is not ready to elect an avowed and transparent socialist, and a radical socialist at that, as president. But, say others, America elected the most radical progressive president in its history in 2008. You remember that fellow, don't you? And then again in 2012. He was back again. A man perhaps even more statist and socialist, big government in thinking and political action, more so than even Sanders himself. If America can elect an Obama, why can't America elect a Sanders who was openly socialist statist when Obama kept it such a closed secret? The Socialist Party of America was officially founded at or about 1900 and nominated labor leader Eugene Debs for president 5 times in the ensuing elections. Debs never won even one of the votes of one state, but he did win almost 6% of the popular vote in 1912. Failing miserably on the national scene, the Socialist Party, however, elected about 1,200 candidates to local offices during those 2 decades. Not bad. They challenged America with political cries for income redistribution. Does that sound familiar today? And the nationalization of natural resources, some of that going on too. But they were never able to compete with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, and his coalition of big labor, blacks, and rural whites in the South. America, especially in the Great Depression era, wanted economic growth, not a cradle-to-grave welfare state. America wanted jobs and income opportunities, not more government welfare spending. But in recent years, socialist parties have blossomed in every important country in Europe. Socialist politicians have been able to mobilize mass support for expanding the power of the state, both to provide welfare services and, perhaps even more importantly, to restrain the power of the free market. Critical economic decisions would be made by government and not by business. No matter what happened in Europe, American socialists cast their seed on barren ground. We, the people, just didn't buy it. But by 1980, America had had enough of FDR's New Deal and Lyndon Johnson's Great Society program and the rapid growth and control of government. Ronald Reagan won the presidency in 1980 on a wave of resentment against big government. Taxes were drastically reduced. Government was downsized, both with regard to personnel and employees, and especially rules and regulations, thank the Lord. More control and initiative was returned to private markets and free enterprise. Thank you, Mr. Reagan. And Reagan promised jobs and economic growth and financial opportunities and a new sense of the individual and the entrepreneur. America responded wholeheartedly, and the economic growth and the 8 years of the Reagan presidency was indeed astonishing. Even the Democrat Party sought to distance itself in those healthy economic years from socialism and statism. And many Democrat senators and congresspersons supported the Reagan program and politically participated in that booming economic revival. But it seems as though the Democrats now no longer wish to distinguish themselves from socialists or socialism, and in fact are beginning to embrace the political and economic tenets of Eugene Debs, you know, the guy around 1900. And they are listening carefully to the Sanders message, his progressive agenda that includes tax increases, mammoth increases, single-payer health care, Obama loves that, a 50% reduction in military spending. Wow, in this day and age, in this bellicose world of ours, and a nationally controlled energy policy among many others. We already do a lot of that, don't we? The main mantra is income inequality. Inequality. And beginning with Obama in 2008, the Democrats seem obsessed by that political and economic ideology. In short, more and higher taxes and more and greater regulations are the two keys to the new Democrat-fostered statism. Boy, what a day and age. Interestingly, MSNBC, that rank liberal radical cable channel, in the person of Chris Matthews, no less, interviewed one Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the Democratic National Party, the DNC, and asked her what the difference was between a Democrat and a socialist. Wasserman refused to answer. But Matthews pressed Wasserman further by asking her, "I used to think there was a big difference. What do you think it is? A Democrat like Hillary and a socialist like Bernie Sanders. What is the difference?" Wasserman, typical politician, refused to answer. But that indeed will be critical. That question and the answer thereto will be critical to the redefinition of the Democrat Party. Redefining what that party is, what it believes, what its political platform will be in an open and transparent way, and whether or not the Democrats will openly embrace socialism and statism as Bernie Sanders wants them to do. If in fact the Democrats have transparency and integrity, if in fact, they will openly state their beliefs so that America could finally understand and vote upon the fundamental differences between Democrat and Republican. Democrats, in fact, stand for socialism of some kind, in some way. Democrats stand for statism, the growth, control, and the power of the state, including and especially economically. Republicans, on the other hand, stand for free enterprise, free markets, the freedom of individuals to do business and make business decisions, lower taxes, less government spending, and most importantly, less government power, control, and rules and regulations. These are, in fact, clear and fundamental party differences, which, if honestly articulated, would allow Americans to vote knowing clearly and exactly what they would get. Now get this. 88%, or virtually 9 out of 10 Americans think that the number one issue facing America is the economy and creating new jobs. The economy. So says the poll conducted by the Wall Street Journal and NBC News. The economy needs to be energized, empowered, and removed from government control as much as possible, including the lowering of taxes and the reduction of regulations. But Bernie Sanders wants the government to control the economy, and Sanders proposes new federally controlled legislation, which would invest in the federal government the sum of, you ready for this, $1 trillion over 5 years to modernize our country's physical infrastructure. Says Sanders, at a time when our roads, bridges, water systems, rail, and airports are decaying, the most effective way to rapidly create meaningful jobs is to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure. Sounds to me like a lot of the old FDR New Deal. It will take, says Sanders, $1 trillion to accomplish that. And of course, that would mean new and higher taxes on we, the working people. Yet another penalty on our free economy. And of course, more government control, a la FDR and LBJ. Sanders would, as president, pledge to America that he would make that happen. I bet he'd try real darn hard. Sanders also proposes a minimum wage of $15 per hour. Could you imagine that? And urges the Democrat Party to embrace that goal. Boy, that would put so many small businesses out of business and reduce jobs significantly. Bernie Sanders also wants higher and equal pay for women in the marketplace, without, of course, indicating how that would be accomplished or why and where it is necessary. And, as a further taxing matter and governmental intrusion, Sanders would require a single-payer health care system, the same for all, and basic government health care for every individual. No exceptions. At, of course, the government's expense, which means more taxes for we the people. Well, unbelievable. And of course, those new and higher taxes would come first from much higher taxes on the so-called rich and wealthy. By the way, are you rich? And are you wealthy? Maybe none of us come close to Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, but other than that, maybe you are rich and wealthy. If so, get ready for more taxes, my friend. The income tax brackets for the wealthy once reached as high as 90%. Would you work hard and long and give 9 out of $10 you earn to the government? Well, that's the way it used to be at one time. Unbelievable. Sanders wants a return to those levels or as close to them as possible. All of this Sanders socialism, statism, political philosophy is anti-capitalism and anti-free markets and anti-business, destructive of the entrepreneur and of economic and profitable opportunities, among others. What do you believe? What do you want for your life? Do you want opportunity? Are you willing to work? Do you want to share the American dream and make profit for yourself and your family? Where do you stand? Do you know and understand the issues, especially these large and incredibly controlling and pervasive economic issues? Do you understand the effect this even more radical than Obama changes would make to the American way of life and your way of life? You should, and you must. For elections 2016, including president and vice president, 34 United States senators, and 435 congresspersons in the House of Representatives will determine more than any other election ever, ever, the future of our great country. What you want and what you believe and how you vote will affect the future, yours and mine, of this great country more than any other election ever. You have to know the issues, and you have to decide what is right so that you can vote right. Demand to know. Elections 2016 have really already begun. It seems unprecedented that some 20 months before the election, politicizing is at work. Hillary Rodham Clinton ramps up her campaign for the presidential nomination daily. Bernie Sanders moves aggressively forward. And working in the background and ready for entrance into the political marketplace are Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, perhaps, former Governor O'Malley of Maryland, and perhaps others. There are no less than 16 Republican candidates for the presidential nomination. 16! What a political season this will be. Unbelievable. And of course, it will be the most expensive presidential race ever. The Cook Political Report and prognosticator Elizabeth Wilner indicate that there could be as much as $5 billion, $5 billion spent on the presidential race alone. That's not counting all of the money spent for Senate and House elections. There may be as much as $6 or $7 or even $8 billion spent on political elections 2016. What a staggering sum. In some cases, that much money, that much financial power can in fact influence and even win elections. We will hear more negative advertising, more personal attacks, more confrontation than ever before in American political history. Bet on it. The wealthy will open wallets to support the candidates they desire. More than ever, the more candidates grow in popularity, like Sanders for the Democrats and Trump for the Republicans, the more the money will flow. You and I, average American citizens, will be overwhelmed, bombarded with this political advertising. We must have discernment, my fellow Americans, now more than ever, to understand truth and fact. We cannot be misled by politicians, actual or potential. Elections 2016 may be our last opportunity to define or redefine what our great country should be and how we the people wish to live. The restatement of our values and our morals and the rights and duties and privileges and opportunities we the people in America hold dear. Redefining them, changing them back to the way we want them, and not the way they, the politicians, want. Listen carefully, my fellow citizens, to men like Trump and Walker and Bush and Rubio and Cruz. Listen carefully, very carefully. And listen just as carefully to Hillary Rodham Clinton and Bernie Sanders and Governor O'Malley and Elizabeth Warren or any other voice of the Democrat Party to understand precisely what they believe, precisely and accurately, and determine if you can whether or not they are truthful and transparent and honest when they articulate what they believe, so that you can determine whether or not they intend to be rulers exercising power or representatives of we the people. Elections 2016 may be the most important vote in the future of America ever. And in fact, your vote 2016 may possibly be the last meaningful vote for change, for fundamental change back in America that you will ever cast. Think right. Understand the issues even now. And then vote right for the sake of America.